So a multi-platinum producer who's a little villain right now and a little bit of controversy. Me and Miss Conversation, we have that for you next. Stand by.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Okay. Vibing.
Okay. Hello.
You came to turn up or what? Right.
Yeah, no, it's lit. It's lit. We lit. Definitely buzzing.
Welcome. I'm Jill Monroe. You can follow me everywhere at Stiletto Jill. To my left is Miss Conversation.
I'm Miss Conversation Peace, and you can follow me on Instagram at Conversation Peace or Twitter Miss Combo Peace.
And we have a guest, and I'm pretty excited to talk to this guest because I got a lot of questions for him. If you checked out Love & Hip Hop Miami this season, you know that there's been some controversy, and we have the plug, the person that started all the drama here, Young Hollywood. Welcome.
He's not all about drama, though.
He's definitely
a multi-platinum producer.
Thank you.
And he can play almost any instrument by ear.
Yeah.
Bing, okay.
So he's really talented, so let's get into that first.
Let's get into it. So, multi-platinum. Talk about that. How many hits would, like,
I didn't even try to do it. Like, it just meant for me, man. I was just born for this. Like, since as far as I can remember, I've been doing music, making music. And at 16, I was already in the studio with a lot of producers. And Lil Jon, Pitbull, they gave me really my first opportunity in the industry. And I was doing a lot of ghost producing with Lil Jon and working on a lot of records,
like Pitbull, Trick Daddy.
I was younger. I was just, just getting into the business. I didn't really know how to, like, publishing and stuff like that works. I just used to do a lot of records for, like, just like cash, just sign all the rights and sign everything over. So that's really how I started my career. And they actually sent me to Puerto Rico. Pitbull actually sent me to Puerto Rico to work on a reggaeton album for them. And man, these Puerto Ricans, man. I'm Puerto Rican, so, but I'm Americanized Puerto Rican. But these Puerto Ricans from the island, they are trifling. So they was able to steal me away. Hopefully now the Puerto Ricans don't get on me now. I'm like, you ain't Puerto Rican.
Wait, what happened in Puerto Rico?
So basically, the Puerto Rican artists from reggaeton, they just stole me. They were like, man, why you over there working on Pitbull and the English music, man? You Puerto Rican, you need to make reggaeton. And I caught the vision, and I got sucked into that movement, and I became Young Hollywood, the Spanish multi-platinum producer, and I was able to...
So is it Latin trap? Is that what the category is?
I wouldn't call it Latin trap. Like, that's what a lot of people are doing right now, like the Bad Bunnies and the music that you're kind of hearing now. It's Latin trap, but what I do is really, like, just regular, it's just old regular good music. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you could put a title on what I do, because Latin trap, you could hear it's like a trap that's more watered down, a little bit more outdated. If you listen to it, it sounds good. But if you listen to the production of it, it's a little outdated. It sounds like a little bit, a couple years behind of what's going on now, like per se, like a Future record of current date right now. You know what I'm saying? Or like a 2 Chainz record of current date right now. It doesn't really sound like that. It sounds kind of like a little bit more outdated, but it's still up to date with just Spanish words. Like, what I do is more American sounding, like pop, up to date, top 40 music, just in Spanish.
Okay. So why do you think people in Puerto Rico took to you more so than in Miami? Do you think it was like some hate going on in the city, or you think it was just the right place at the right time and the right connections?
Well, there's a Spanish saying that says, Rey, nunca rey es su pueblo. And basically means like you're never king in your own town. So it's like, I don't think it's really hate. I don't really believe in all that. It's a mindset. Like, people can hate on you all they want. If your mindset is there and your dedication and ambition is there and you're relentless, you're going to get it regardless. So it's like, I was doing reggaeton, and I got sucked into that movement. I was doing always hip-hop my whole life. My first language is English. But I started working with a couple of Puerto Rican artists, and they were like, yo, man, you need to do reggaeton. You need to mix what you do with the reggaeton. And I just started, working on it, getting it together. And basically, I got that sound to come out together,
So what about, like, working with someone like Trick Daddy or Trina, who are on the show with you now, or, like, even Pleasure P, like, do you see yourself, like, working with R&B or, like,
yeah, actually, like, music? Me and the whole Pretty Ricky Click, we go back, like, years, because we from Miami. Like, I know, like, their uncle and management and stuff like that for years. And we actually, me and Pedro B were actually in the studio maybe like 2 weeks ago. We ran into each other in the studio, and we definitely like already talking, going back and forth from work. And me and Steph LaCour are like great friends. We was actually FaceTiming on the way over here, and we getting in the studio. Me and Amara is getting in the studio. Trick.
Okay, Trick, so wait.
You can't just say that.
Did I say that? I don't even think I'm allowed to say that yet, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scoopage. So let me ask you, what do you think is your signature sound? Like, what do you think separates you from what's out there now?
Like I said, that like usually the norm for Latin music, as you could tell, is Latin. And like the norm for like the crossover sound, you could tell it's a crossover. Like I think I'm just really good at giving you a certain type of sound or a certain type of blend of different genres and you not even noticing. Like it's just one continuous movement and frequency of sound. It just breaks down the barrier of crossover or fusion. It just feels like it's just meant to sound like that. No matter what language it is or what genre is playing.
So when you work with artists, do you kind of what happened, you know, we'll get into that later, but I just want to know, do you have a vision, like when you talk to an artist, do you have a vision of the type of record you see them in, video?
As soon as I meet an artist, I can definitely feel the vibe just off of shaking the hand and vibing with them for at least first 10, 15 minutes. I could feel either if I want to work with you or not, or what I feel you need to do, or what I feel everything's fine and let's just get to work. Like, it just depends how I feel. And I think that's what a lot of artists really enjoy when working with me, is that they know they're not gonna have like a yes man around them. Like in this industry, a lot of celebs get to a level where it's like you get into a studio and you just have a producer or engineer. It's like, yo, man, it's perfect. Oh man, I love it. Oh man, you killed it. No, you didn't kill it. The shit's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that dude. In the studio. I'm gonna be like, yo, that shit is whack. Yo, tell your man to shut up because he gonna mess your whole album up if you keep listening to him. The shit's horrible. Go back in. Come out, let's get some tea. Let's change it up. Let's change the cadence. Let's change the delivery. Hold up. Let's change this around. You know what I'm saying?
So do you mainly work with any up-and-coming artists where you can kind of mold them into the artists, like, let's say, like a Timberland did with Aaliyah?
Like, 90% of the time, that's what I'm usually doing, even with established artists. Like, when we get in the studio, 90% of the time, I'm usually creating a vibe and reconstruction, whatever is going on. But with new artists, yes, I do that. I create... I have two artists right now. I have one, DVLA. You pronounce it Davila, but it's spelled DVLA. And I have a female artist named Tiny.
Okay.
And they're both bilingual artists, and I'm doing that. I'm raising them up from the bottom. I've been developing them for the last, like, 2 years, and the music is sounding amazing. We got a couple features, so... Excuse me. February 14th, we're dropping singles for both of them, and there's going to be a lot of music on the way for them, so definitely be on the lookout for Davila and Tiny.
Okay, so do you think it's easier to work with someone from the ground up or someone that is already established, that knows what they're doing? Which one do you think is easier?
Artists are headaches regardless. Like artists are just are special individuals. They're artistic. They're exactly what the word artistic means. Their imagination is runs wild. So is their personality, their humor, their moods. And it's really a roller coaster, and it's an art form to learn how to deal with artists and them as humans. You know, it's not just so much the creativity in the music part, because that's easy to me. That's like second nature. But really, where it comes is molding them, because it's just like you're raising them again, like you're raising a child. But just it's like they're born again in the music industry, and you gotta they're green. You know what I'm saying? They don't know what it is. They can meet someone, they come back to, it's like, oh man, I just met this person. And you're like, dude, okay, you just met that person, but you don't know really what their intention is. Mm-hmm. But someone where like a seasoned artist knows, hey, look, you need to watch out this. So it really comes to that. It's more like raising them up to know how to work in this industry. Just like kind of a little bit of stuff you guys seen on Love and Hip Hop, which was great that the show touched on a light and a subject like that, even though I was ridiculed and crucified for it. But it's good that people get to see like how the markets are, you know what I'm saying, broken down, how people are marketed to, how they are, you know what I'm saying, distributed, and what their sound is, what their look is. So, you know what I'm saying?
Let's get into that.
Do you feel set up? I'm sorry. Yeah. I just want to know, like, I'm not
going to lie. I ain't going to lie. There was a point, like, a couple days into it, where I was like people were calling me, man, how are you doing? You holding up? And I was like, why are people calling me? Like I'm good. Like, I've been in real, real, real street problems where people really know where I'm at. And we really, you know what I'm saying? Real life risk. So none of that internet stuff bothered me. But I'm not going to lie. God, there was a day where I woke up and I was like, man, like, why? Mm. Why are they, like...
Do you...
I seen posts and certain things. I was like, yeah, they're really, like... These people know it, this is entertainment, reality TV. Like,
come do you on, regret like, being on the show right now?
Not really, not at all. Like, it, honestly, at the end of the day, it's a platform, and I'm really appreciative and thankful for Mona Scott and the whole team at VH1 and everybody at Mona Me and Eastern. They treated me great, and it was an awesome experience, and I would definitely do it again.
Okay.
Do you think it affected your business in any way?
Not really, because that's one thing people understand. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I never heard of this. Who's this dude? Who's this dude? He's a nobody. I never heard of him. Like, Charlamagne was like, oh, who the fuck is Young Hollywood? Like, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? He's just doing his job. But, like, my career, my core fan base is not the, like, the Anglo market. It's not the English, American, like, the United States. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but do you still think that saying something like that could offend someone? And it, you see,
oh, of course, I guess it can. If you really not paying attention and like, listen to, like, you know what I'm saying? Rewind it, watch the episode a couple times, you'll realize I'm not really, like, taking a shot, like, at that, at like, the African-American community, you know, like, mm-hmm. that. Like, that's impossible. I couldn't, you know what I'm saying?
So, well, okay.
That's insane.
To kind of, like, you know, since we have
honestly, it was honestly, I'll go there with it. Like, really what it was is, like, we're both Latino. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to divide a line, but it's like, we're Latin. You know what I'm saying? Me and her are Latin. She's a Latina, full-blown Latina. So she happens to be dark-skinned.
Let's let's break it down. So how did you meet Amara? Did you meet her in person?
On the show.
On the show.
Okay, so when you saw her on the show, that was your first time meeting her in person, yeah, and seeing her look.
Yeah, basically.
And that
No. We had already seen each other in the industry, because obviously, okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, we come from Latin music. That's what I was trying to say when you said, is this affecting me? Like, yeah, I guess like a month maybe in this, but not really, because it's, people know it's a show. Like, every time I ran into somebody in real life, everybody's like, oh my God, you're an asshole, but I love you. Let me get a picture. Like, it's you know what I'm saying? It's entertainment, man. It's TV. Yeah. But it doesn't affect my core fan base, because my core fan base is in Chile, Argentina. These people don't give a fuck about none of that. They don't care about none of that. I don't know if I can cuss or not.
You can.
So you know what I'm saying? But do you care about what we...
But of course.
You offended me a little bit.
But of course I do.
Okay.
It's just I didn't take it like that, because I'm like, I know what I said and I know how I feel. But if people... Like, people that do feel that way, of course I'm going to level with you and be like, hey, I didn't mean that, and I want you to feel that way towards me and get to know me, have a conversation with me, and tell me then how you feel about my person.
Now,
you know what I'm saying? Or
one more question I have for you. The first time that you apologized to Amara, did you mean it?
Of course.
Or were you trying to get Veronica's pants?
Nah, like, honestly, like I said on the show, like, I don't
want to... Are you single? Is that for
I'm
the show?
I'm single.
Okay.
I'm definitely
you
single.
You got to give him a boo.
I'm definitely single, ready to mingle. You know
a light skin boo.
Nah. I'm not even with none of that. Like, okay. I'm not, like, that's the thing with it is. Like, when I talk about stuff like that, mm-hmm, I might come off a little vague or a little, like... Like, this guy doesn't see the problem that's going on. I don't see the problem, because I don't see that. Like, I don't see the colors. I don't feed into the whole cliche, oh, they're holding us down. And I don't see none of that. I got tats on my face, bro. And I sit down with, like, corporate white America, and I'm finessing the shit out of these niggas. I'm corporate thugging. That's what I like to call it. So if I could do it with tats all over my face, tats on my eyes, and I can clean up and put my hair to the side and put on a nice little suit and some loafers and walk up in that office and walk out with these checks, I don't see that.
So,
you know what I'm saying? So when I speak about on those situations, I'm sorry to cut you off, but when I speak on those situations, it's just like, to me, it's like, bro, like, I don't want to hear that. Like, I really don't see that. I understand there's a situation and there is oppressions in places and there is things, but really, I think it starts in your mind. It's your mindset. If you let people put that standard to put you in a box, you're going to think like that. I promise.
So I just to clear it up, your objection wasn't to her skin color, or
no,
you just
no,
felt
no.
You feel that to be more commercial, or to be more commercial with, no, Latin, because that's kind of what,
yeah,
I'm
confused
about.
It was musically, because
musically, or because it was about the look. Is it about who she's projecting to, or
yeah? If you watch that scene, she leading up to us being in the studio and us having that conversation, she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna start." I've been working on the thing, and I've been hearing about this. I'm trying to do this crossover and get into the next market. And I'm going to go visit this producer named Young Hollywood who could help me. You know, there's keywords. Help me. I'm trying to cross over to a different market. Like, going back to the question you asked, that I haven't met Amara before the show. We've obviously heard about each other. She's been trying to get sessions with me in real life, not on the show. And I know of her music and who she was in the Latin industry, because that's what her career has been based up till this point. It's always been Latin music up to this point. So when she comes to me, I'm like, hey, mind you, she's trying to cross over into a different market. I've seen the girl for years, behind backstages, here and there, different there. You know what I'm saying? We never face-to-face in the studio, but I've seen the girl, so I'm like, okay, she's had the same look for years. Okay. You're trying to cross over. How about we start straight on? I'm tired. I've been seeing you with this hair for forever. You know what I'm saying? It's a wig. It's not your natural hair. You weren't born with that. So, okay. So baby girl, I love, you know what I'm saying? I love the look. But shit, let's change it up for Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
Shit, so switch it up. Let's just have different variety. Just switch it up.
So you just wanted some variety.
Yeah, that's all I want to say. But like I said, I'm a very blunt person. I have no filter. I'm not sitting there trying to, you know what I'm saying?
So you don't think some people have a certain look, like, and that could be her look, and that would be okay?
Like Alicia Keys had braids when she first came out for the first how many albums?
But if that's what I'm trying to, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. If you look at if you study and do research on these artists that do these things, when they do it, it's for certain songs, a political song or a social song that's going to talk about something, and it goes with it. Like when I said a little bit less Macy Gray, more Beyonce. Macy Gray has an afro, she's beautiful, she sings amazing, she's Grammy Award winning, like, God bless her. But her music is social jazz. It's a sound.
Macy Gray
ain't got so? No. When was the last time you was dancing to Macy Gray in the club?
No, I mean, you're not, but I'm just saying.
You hear a Macy Gray record in the club?
No, but I wouldn't term it as political either.
No, no, not political. Okay. But it's like, okay, let me take that. It wasn't different. Political. I'm going to take that back. It wasn't political. Thank God we're not on the show and I can say it right now, you know, and not have to wait 2 years so it comes out to be like, hey, I didn't mean that, guys. But yeah, no, I didn't mean it political, but like, if her sound is way more. It's more conscious music.
Okay.
So that would her attire would go with that conscious and earthly look and like not really caring about products in my hair, not, because it goes with the sound.
Do you regret
That's just how
it
goes. Like, you know?
Do you regret saying it?
Hell nah. No. Like, I'm not that dude. Like, I'm not going to get caught up in that. Get caught up in something that I didn't mean it with that meaning. So why would I regret something that I didn't say with a bad way? Like,
okay.
I regret people understanding it the wrong way.
Okay, so you apologized to her twice.
Of course.
Or three times.
a whole shitload of times.
Right, so did you mean it then?
Since of course, you don't I meant it every time.
The first time didn't look as genuine. That's
I did. I just, honestly, like I said, I just didn't see the issue. So I was just like, let's get past it. Like, if you see, there was a bonus clip that VH1 released of me talking to Veronica, and I'm like, dude, like, if I were to tell you something like that, I don't think you'd be, like, outrageous and make this whole thing. You'd be like, all right, that's cool. That's your opinion, man. I don't give a fuck. Like, another interview I had earlier, they asked me, and I was like, dude, you see, you like Tim's, right? So if you came to me and asked me for an opinion, I'd be like, bro, them Tim's got to go. But you'd probably be like, shit, that's okay. Your problem, my nigga. I'm going to keep rocking my Tim's because you like your Tim's. Like, and keep it moving, and we keep talking. You're not going to be like, oh, you know what? How are you going to say this about the Timberland movement? That means you hate New Yorkers because New Yorkers love Tim's. And, like, take it into a route. It was not like, you know, I wasn't trying to attack a race or ethnicity or it was nothing like that.
But then you got to a point where you kind of felt what Amara was feeling, or you knew, kind of empathized with her. Because you apologized the second time, I felt like it was a little more sincere. You pulled her to the side, and you said, you know, I apologize.
This is what it is. I heard she was crying, and she actually felt something. I was like, whoa, that definitely wasn't my intention. I'm definitely not trying to make a woman cry and trying to affect her emotions. Like, I'm not trying to break someone down. Like, I'm not about all that negative vibes. Like, you know what I'm saying? I could be sarcastic. I could be a little blunt, maybe a little dry sometimes, but I'm definitely not trying to hurt somebody in an emotional way and leave someone, you know, because of my comments. So I wanted to clarify that. I just wanted to say, hey, like, you're beautiful. Like, this is nothing about that. Like, this was just my opinion on that costume, on that look, because it's a costume. That's not just, you don't wake up in the morning, that's not how your hair grow. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's point blank. That's it.
But you get why, like, some...
I get it. I think, honestly, I just think...
It's something that's been ongoing. So you understand why...
Of course.
The audience for Love and Hip Hop kind of took it to heart, right?
Definitely,
okay, so you're not blind to that there are situations in the music industry and things like that where...
Yeah, definitely. But I just feel like the people, like they say, the audience of Love and Hip Hop should be a little bit more selective on who they want to represent a movement like that. Because I think something like that should be represented from someone that... you know what I'm saying? That's their natural growth of their hair. And they're so being, you don't feel they're being changed. Okay. They're being attacked because of who they are, and they can't even change it. Okay. This is something that if Tuesday you wake up and want to wear the shit the other way, you could literally, you know what I'm saying? There's people that grow up and they have a certain hair and they can't even put stuff on top of their head, and they have to just deal with what they're born with. And those people should be the ones to take a stand for that and represent that and be that spokesperson. But I get the whole thing. And like I said, if I had to be the person to be the bad guy and Amada was chose to be the person, that's great for the people that are going through that situation, for them to have a little light and a little bit more support and see that there is light at the end of the tunnel for her.
I'm glad you guys were able to get over it and get kind of past it. We're going to look for more of your relationship with Amara and see how you guys end up in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, later on.
I don't know. That's, I don't know. You got to keep watching Love and Hip Hop every Monday night to find that out.
So are you feeling any of the ladies on the show? Because I know you were kind of feeling Veronica.
Veronica's a cutie. Amara's
definitely. Is that a setup situation?
Amara's a cutie. I think all the women are beautiful. I'm not selective like that. I love all women, man. All women are beautiful.
Shoot your shot, right?
I love women, man. So all shapes, colors,
sizes. So no one in particular from any of the Love and Hip Hop franchise.
Nah, man. I think, like I said, Veronica's a cutie, but she's a little too wild for me.
Now Cardi B, she's doing amazing. She just got nominated.
God bless Cardi B.
You want to work with her?
Love to work with Cardi. I definitely love to work with Cardi. Cardi, if you see this, holler at me.
Who's somebody that outside of Cardi? Because we just touched on her. Who else would you want to work with? Who's out there that you would have an interest in?
Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I like her voice. I like her vibe.
So what do you think Taylor Swift, you could add to it?
Funny, because I would like to work with both rivals, like Taylor Swift and Katy Perry. Maybe actually do a record with Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, make that record happen.
Okay. You
know, not crazy. I've always been kind of like known for doing that in the Spanish market, like doing beef records and then doing the record for both dudes that had the beef. So it's like,
You starting trouble all the way around.
I'm just with the shits, man. I'm with it. Okay. I'm with the shits.
So how did you get linked up with the whole Love and Hip Hop? Like,
I love her body language throughout this interview has said different things throughout the whole interview.
I'm just taking it in, and
I gotta take my. She'd be like, okay. And I feel like when you do that, you'd be like, this nigga crazy.
I mean,
but she ain't saying it. It's just the face. She just be like, okay.
I think you're interesting. I understand where you want to go with some things, and some things I may not necessarily agree with, but I respect that you taking it on head on.
And so, I appreciate that. I respect that of you.
It's a thing. So what are you working on currently that you can talk about? Like, what?
Well, the Moet song that you guys played in the intro of the show. Well, we actually have 2 Chainz featured on the remix.
Okay.
And we're just prepping that record right now to be released.
All right.
Soon, hopefully mid-February after Valentine's Day, around there.
Any more collaborations?
Yeah, we got something in the pipeline with Migos featuring Plambé, which is another fusion record. Reggaeton, trap, you know what I'm saying, everything together.
And you're a mogul as well. You have any other business?
Yeah, man. I be doing a lot of things. I got apps coming. I got apps? Clothing lines.
Okay, so you just
I got headphones coming. I got a lot of stuff. I got my label. I got a publishing company.
Has Love and Hip Hop helped you? Or do you think with this scandal it's kind of been...
Love and Hip Hop has definitely got people talking shit about me. But my career, I still feel it just working the same way, like how I do it. And my business is still the same. It's running at a steady pace. Not stagnant, but definitely moving forward day by day. But I'm not doing like the Love and Hip Hop bookings and stuff like that. So you already know, hit me up for the bookings.
Club bookings, all of that.
We out here. We definitely out here, though. So definitely hit me up if people don't know that I am on that. So we out here DJing. I do host and DJing.
Okay, so Vegas residency, that's something you're looking into.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah, speaking into existence, sister. Right, hallelujah. Praise God.
All right.
Speaking into, I receive it. But we just out here working, and I haven't felt it yet, really, honestly. Just honestly on the drama, that definitely has increased. Definitely the comments have increased.
Been able to clear up what you want to clear up?
Yeah. Hey, it is what it is, man.
Okay. So, we're kind of going to wrap up here, but last thing, is there anything that you want to leave people with that they take away no matter what they think? So what I'm saying is, what do you want to leave? What type of impression do you want to leave with people? Because you said, you know, on the show, it's edited, it's different things. So now they have unfiltered you at their disposal.
I could care. Like, listen.
So you don't care about anything?
This is what
nobody?
People don't understand.
Okay.
You're watching TV. If
I mean,
your ass
general,
is
I'm
caught
not,
up in okay. that, if you really that serious that you feel like I really need to be like, hey, I'm sorry to you. You might want to take a break. Take a week break off the TV. Turn that shit off. Go outside. Get some fresh air. Go to a park. Go walk. Go with your husband or wife somewhere. Go do some real activity as a human being and take a break from technology.
Okay, we're away from Love
and Hip Hop. Definitely Love. You watching too much Love and Hip Hop if you really feel something inside you, like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm saying from Young Hollywood, what would you want? Forget the show.
Okay,
what
forget
do you
the show.
Want
yeah. Honestly, have faith. Never lose faith in whatever you want to do. If you have a dream that you have and you feel that you're sent here to do something, don't ever lose faith because... Man, this has been a roller coaster, and I'm telling you, it's just getting better and better by the day. The fights get stronger, new levels, new devils. But to anybody that's trying to do anything in life, from GEDs to starting a new company, do not lose faith.
Okay. I have one last question. Do you feel like they accurately portray you? Is that you? Is that the real you?
Hell no. You see me? This is me. Well, okay. I guess that could be me at a certain time.
It's pieces okay. of you, but not the whole
that's
thing.
That's piece of me, but that's not me. Like, they picked... Like, that day, there was so much other things, Pokeball, and you only seen 15, maybe what, 20, 30 seconds of me, so, you know.
Okay. Uh-huh. You but can we see gotta how look out for the real stuff. Coming up, maybe? You don't know.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm with y'all on this, folks.
Okay. Yeah, so on behalf of Black Girls in Media, I asked that question because they want to know, are you like that in real life? So,
ladies. Black Girls in Media, am I accepted? Is Poppy okay or what?
We're going to see.
Not just yet?
I know. This is an organization. They sent in questions to her, so they want to know that.
Oh,
so
there's
we'll
actually a Black Girls organization?
Yeah.
See, you can't be offending people.
See, you just assumed that we were talking about us, and she was talking about something else.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
tell them where they can find you on social media, Young Hollywood, please.
Well, my Instagram is Young Hollywood MI. Like I said, Instagram has disabled my account to further notice, but till now, follow me on Instagram, Young Hollywood MIA. Twitter is Young Hollywood. Hollywood spelled with two ones instead of two L's. And Young Hollywood Music on YouTube, Young Hollywood on Spotify, Young Hollywood Apple Music.
And every Monday night on Love and Hip Hop Miami.
And every Monday night on Poppy and Hip Hop.
Poppy and Hip Hop in Vegas soon, we hope.
I'm going to stay tuned in. I am your host, Miss Conversation Piece. Thank you guys for watching.
I'm Jill Monroe. You can follow me everywhere at Stiletto Jill. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Pleasure later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.